ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna instructs, Satatam kirtiyanto mam yatantascha dritabhrita namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate.
This is an explanation of the qualities of a Mahatma, a great soul. Today it is very fashionable to rubber stamp anyone as a Mahatma, someone who does social work, someone who gives in charity, someone who is learned in the scriptures, someone who is very excellent at giving philosophical dissertations, someone who is dressed in a particular way in saffron cloth. But Krishna does not mention any of these qualities as the real symptoms of a Mahatma. A Mahatma is one who is constantly chanting the glories of the Lord, and endeavoring with great determination in the service of the Lord. Enthusiasm is the life of the devotee of the Lord. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if one is not enthusiastic to serve the Lord, then one is like a dead man, and one makes no tangible spiritual advancement. Spiritual life is not mechanical. We can sit in classes and hear very nice theoretical philosophy, and we can have great conviction of our intelligence, and that is very good. That is very important. But factually, unless that philosophical conviction generates a sense of enthusiasm within one's heart for the service of the Lord, then it is like an empty decoration, but there is no substance. In fact, this enthusiasm for the service of the Lord is so rare and so precious that even the Lord himself worships the devotee who has such enthusiasm. It is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that at the temple in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was once standing just at the foot of the holy Garuda Stamba, having the darshan of Lord Jagannath. And at that time, a very old woman, she was very small in size, and she was very anxious to see Lord Jagannath. But she was not able to see him because she could not see over everyone's heads. So she was a woman, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, was a sannyasi. And especially those days, 500 years ago, sannyasis were very strict in the principles of sannyas, very orthodox in their ways. But this woman personally began to climb on the body of the Lord, and she got up on his shoulders, and she was standing on his shoulders looking to see Jagannath. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant, Govinda, he became very angry at this woman. He said, "You uncivilized woman, what are you doing crawling on the body of a sannyasi? Get down." And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard his servant say like this, Lord Chaitanya said, no, do not disturb her. He said, how eager she is to see Lord Jagannath, how eager she is to see him. She did not even consider what she was doing or not doing. He said, how could we interfere with her darshan, with her beloved Lord? He said, the Lord himself said, I am only praying to Lord Jagannath that someday I could have such eagerness and enthusiasm to see him as this woman has. In this way, the Lord praised her for her enthusiasm to serve the Lord by coming before him. So, really, the real duty of those who are preaching the philosophy of Sanatana Dharma is not to entertain people with so much fanciful philosophy, not to simply theoretically convince people of the right way of life, but the perfection of the preachers of Sanatana Dharma is to generate enthusiasm within a person's heart to render service to the Lord and to chant the holy names of the Lord. Because it is only through that enthusiasm to engage in devotional service or the process of bhakti that tangible spiritual advancement is made. And this is the purpose of human life. As described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhakti rat ok ahokshaje ahoita ki aprati hata jajatma suprasidati. That the supreme occupation for all humanity is that which inspires one to unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Lord. That really this is the essence of all religion. This is the goal of all spiritual philosophies. This is the very purpose of all scriptures. To ultimately bring one's consciousness to the unmotivated, uninterrupted service of the Lord. Without service, there is no realization. Krishna explains in Gita that jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshami sheshyata yajgyatvani habuyon yajgyatabhyam avishishyate. There is two types of knowledge. There's jnan and there's vijnan. Jnan is theoretical understanding, philosophical conviction. But vijnan is realization, realized knowledge. Just like if you are sick and you need medicine and you go to the pharmacy and you know exactly, a proper doctor gives you exactly what medicines are needed, what chemicals will properly cure the disease in your body. And you go to the pharmacy and you choose and select exactly the proper medicine. And you take it home and you put it on your shelf and you tell everyone in the family and all your friends, I have just the right medicine to cure my illness. Until you take that medicine off the shelf and put it in your mouth and digest it, what good is all your theoretical understanding of what chemicals will work? Huh? So similarly, people are sometimes very anxious to philosophically understand the goal of life. And they have so much intelligent stability in regard to what they really want and what they really need and what is the absolute truth and what is God and what is the soul and what is illusion, what is this world. But until that conviction crystallizes into a desire to enthusiastically render service to the Lord and render service to the Lord's devotees, there's no realization. There's no factual spiritual advancement. The shastras are not meant to simply entertain our intelligence. These shastras are meant to change our heart. These shastras are meant to actually change the quality of our life. And what is that essential quality that is meant to be changed? That we must transfer our attachment to matter and the senses to attachment to Krishna or God and His service. By engaging our senses in the service of the Lord of the senses, our consciousness becomes purified. And when the consciousness is purified, the natural development of love awakens within our heart. And that is really the only condition of life that will completely satisfy the self. We are reading every morning in the Srimad Bhagavatam from the seventh canto the story of Prahlad Maharaj. After Prahlad Maharaj was saved by Lord Narahari and he was made the king of the entire universe, his father Hiranyakashipu, who conquered everything and everyone, he was killed by the Lord due to his very offensive approach to his son. So Prahlad was put on the throne, and it is explained that at one time he was feeling very eager to associate with saintly persons. You see, in this world, when one attains a big position, one considers himself very important. One becomes very proud. When one has much money or much prestige, or especially more than anything else, much power and influence, one becomes very proud. But Prahlad Maharaj, although he was the most powerful, wealthy, and prestigious person in all the universe, he was always anxious to humble himself by putting his head at the lotus feet of saints. Huh? And he was always anxious to find out some genuine saintly person and become the humble servant and inquire submissively from that person. So Prahlad left Indraloka, where he was sitting on a great throne, and he wandered through the forests, where he came across one man who was laying on the ground, practically naked, with dirt and grass and weeds all over his body. He hadn't moved in years. He was so indifferent to his body that he simply depended on Krishna to provide whatever Krishna wanted to provide. He opened his mouth, and if Krishna would put something in to nourish it, he would be nourished. Otherwise, he wasn't concerned. Factually, if you are depending on Krishna, you do not need anything. There is enough nourishment in the air to maintain and support your body in full health for many, many, many long years, if Krishna wants to provide those nutrients in the air. Huh? Or if Krishna wants to send nice samosas, kachoris, rasgullas, ladus into your mouth, you don't need anyone to cook for you. Krishna is unlimited. He is inconceivable. He can do anything. The only problem is we are not depending on him. We are completely depending on our own efforts. Of course, we should not be lazy. We have to work within this world responsibly. But we have to understand that there are a caliber of such great souls who have such intense faith, that based on that faith in God and that realization of God's complete protection, that devotee is not in need of anything. Prahlad was struck with wonder because although this person was laying in the dark wilderness of solitude of the jungle for years and years and years, and he hadn't even stood up to even endeavor to eat, he was fat. He was so well nourished. Prahlad was thinking, how is this possible? And then he understood that someone who is on this level, completely depending on Krishna, Krishna provides everything. There is no shortage. What does he need? So Prahlad Maharaj inquired from this great Avadhuta, what are you doing here and why? What have you learned? You are obviously a great soul. I am putting my head at your feet. I am bowing down to you. Try to understand, here is such a great king, and he's humbling himself before such a personality? Huh? Can you imagine George Bush or Mr. Gorbachev going into the forest and humbling themselves and surrendering to some naked man laying in the jungles? Because they are not so highly civilized in spiritual culture. But in days of the past, kings were very sophisticated in their spiritual culture and understanding. And as Avadhuta began to explain to Prahlad that for many, many years I lived in this world and I have seen so many things. I have seen how people are constantly chasing after the mad illusion of material sense enjoyment and how they are constantly being frustrated. Just like a mirage in the desert, people are very eager, very enthusiastic to chase after the things of this world. But in the end, they are always frustrated. Therefore, rather than following the concoctions of our mind and senses, one should follow the direction of the great souls whose every word is guided by the scriptures and by God. By following such great personalities, then we can attain that state of unlimited happiness which is within us all. The Avadhuta Brahman explained that I see that people are very anxious for very nice family life. People want very nice wife, very nice husband, nice children, good wealth. And I have watched and examined very carefully to see what kind of happiness there is in these things. And in the end, all I see is frustration. I see the serpent of death ultimately strikes and painfully drags everything away from one. Therefore, in whatever condition of life one is in, the only happiness worthy of our human efforts is the happiness that is within us. The happiness of our relationship of God. The happiness of the realization of the eternal self. Therefore, he explained, I have no interest in the things of this world. My only interest is simply remembering Krishna. My only interest is with all the enthusiasm of my command to remember the Lord and glorify Him and hear His transcendental wonderful qualities. So, of course, there are not very many of us who are willing to lay in the dark midst of the jungles for the rest of our life, waiting for Krishna to fill our hearts. with his love. But the principle which he is explaining is essential for all sincere persons with intelligence to understand in this world. The principle is that the goal of life is spiritual realization. The goal of life is no amount of prosperity that is a fruit or a result of piety. That is not the goal of life. Of course, the goal of life is also not the gross pleasures which are the fruit of sinful activity. The goal of life is not the cultivation of knowledge. The goal of life is not the accumulation of mystic potencies and yogic powers. The goal of life is the simple and pure remembrance of God. The goal of life is the humble service of the Lord and the enthusiasm, the eagerness to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. So therefore, we are not so concerned with all the intricate rules and regulations that the various religions are teaching. Although these things are very helpful in regulating our lives, steadying our minds, and purifying our activities. But our real interest is to somehow or other associate with those persons who can inspire us to become enthusiastic and eager to serve the Lord and to love the Lord. Because when we are enthusiastic for devotional service, when we are enthusiastic to hear the glories of the Lord, to chant His holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, and to assist Him in His glorious mission and the mission of His devotees. Through this process, the Lord within the heart becomes pleased. It is said, Srinvatam sukata krishna punja sravana kirtana hridyantastohya bhadrani vidunoti suritsitam. And when the Supreme Lord is pleased, He cleanses all the illusions, all the misconceptions, and all of the unwanted desires from our heart. And when our heart is cleansed in its pure state, the beautiful form of God, resplendently in all His infinite radiance, reveals Himself from within us. And in that state of consciousness, we can drink the eternal ocean of nectar that we are always striving to experience. So let us be very serious to cultivate this enthusiasm to be the servant of the Lord, and know that there is no greater wealth than that enthusiasm. There is no greater treasure in all the world than the enthusiasm to serve. Because that treasure can purchase God. None of your money can purchase God. None of your power can purchase God. None of your property can purchase God. None of your intelligence, even if you have PhD, MA in the most prestigious university of the world, that will not purchase God. It is only the enthusiasm to serve, the enthusiasm to hear, to chant, and to serve the sadhus. That is the only means of purchasing the Lord. So therefore, that enthusiasm to hear, that enthusiasm to chant the holy names, that enthusiasm to be the servant of the Lord and His devotees, is the most priceless and precious treasure and wealth in all of the creation. and we should be willing to give anything for that wealth. We should be willing to do anything for that wealth. That is the perfection of life. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes.
Let me talk about, I have two questions related to each other. One is that how do we differentiate between enthusiasm and consideration for the enthusiasm in total selfishness? And the second is that...
Wait. First, let me understand the first one. Say that again.
At times when we have unbridled enthusiasm, sometimes we see that it also is there's lack of consideration for others in that enthusiasm to serve, and leads to sometimes a rather selfish attitude. Just rough for others in order to achieve something.
Mm.
So. Is that good? Just like this old lady climbed over the God's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she did it unknowingly, but here in many times we see that people just want to get something done and get to their own. We don't shut out everything, all consideration for others.
Mm-hmm.
We know that it is causing discomfort or problems.
Srila Prabhupada defines enthusiasm as to sincerely endeavor with intelligence. Huh? So where do we get our intelligence from? We have to get our intelligence from intelligent personalities. That is why we need the association of sadhus, and we require the association of guru, because they are giving us the proper guidance on how to direct our energies in the enthusiastic service of the Lord. Otherwise, if our enthusiasm is not guided by a higher intelligence than our own, sometimes it becomes fanaticism. Sometimes, out of enthusiasm, people kill another. It's like in India, there was. Before the British came, there was rulers who thought that if someone is not of our religion, they're going to hell. And because they're living on this earth means they're contaminating the earth and sending other people to hell. So therefore, they should be killed immediately. Let's send them to hell let's send them where they belong as soon as possible so they don't bother us anymore. And they were very enthusiastic to cut people's heads off.
In the name of God.
In the name of God, yes. So that's enthusiasm, but it's not with intelligence. It's with fanaticism, because they are guided by not the word of God, not by the realized, digested words of the great souls, but their enthusiasm is based on ignorance. So therefore, we must be enthusiastic to serve the order of the great souls. Then our enthusiasm becomes for the benefit of all. Our enthusiasm becomes an act of compassion and mercy toward all living beings, because it is actually in the service of God. We have to understand, we're not talking about just enthusiasm. We're talking about enthusiasm in the service of God. Now, the service of God can only be when you understand what God wants. How can you serve Him if you do not know what He wants? And how do we understand what God wants? Krishna says in Gita, Tadvidi pranipate na pariprasne na sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnani nastvata darshana. If you want to understand what God wants, you have to accept from God where to get that information. We may have our opinions, you may have your opinions, but if you want to serve God, you have to be willing to accept God's opinion, correct? Krishna says, if you want to know the truth, You must approach a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service to him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. And the spiritual master is one who is always glorifying the Lord, always endeavoring with great determination to serve the Lord, and is always repeating the pure message of God from the scriptures without adulteration. So when our enthusiasm is directed by such great souls, then our enthusiasm is truly and purely engaged in God's service. And that is the greatest wealth, to have the mercy of the great sadhus and the direction and the inspiration to enthusiastically serve the Lord and thus serve every living being. By serving Krishna, when you water the root of the tree, the whole tree is nourished. One who loves God is the topmost well-wisher for every living being. He is the most compassionate, most charitable, most sincere welfare worker on the whole face of the earth, because he has genuine love for everyone. He has a genuine concern for the sufferings of all living beings. He's free from all selfishness. He's free from all fanaticism. He's a genuine friend for every living being. This is the natural quality of one who is genuinely enthusiastic in the service of God. What is your second question?
You had also said that even if we don't feel enthusiastic at times, we should actually act enthusiastic. Now, is that how long does it last? I mean, is it that after some time, automatically genuine enthusiasm will come? Should we seek that? Or will we keep on acting? Because otherwise, after some time, it could remain artificial.
That is the secret. If you are sincere. If you are insincere, then you will endeavor for some time with enthusiasm. And if you do not achieve the result that you expect, you will give up. But if you are actually sincere, then Krishna within the heart will guide you, give you faith, and give you strength. So the real question is, are we sincere? It is said that if you do not feel enthusiastic, you act enthusiastic. This is not making a show. If you are doing it to make a show, that means you are insincere. And that show bottle devotion will not endure. Some people want to make everyone else think that they are very advanced spiritually, that they are very great welfare workers in God's service. So they make a show of being very enthusiastic for their own prestige. That is insincerity. What happens is gradually, when the prestige is not there, when the adoration is not there, then they lose all their enthusiasm. Huh? Because they're not motivated to please God, they're motivated to please their own senses. But a sincere soul, he's not trying to make a show. He's simply trying to, his enthusiasm is simply an act of humble service. It is my service to be enthusiastic, whether I feel like it or not, for the pleasure of Guru, for the pleasure of the sadhus, and for the pleasure of Krishna. And therefore, whether it takes one day, 1 year, 50 years, or many lifetimes, it doesn't matter. It is my service to please the Lord. There is a story in Chaitanya Charitamrita about one devotee named Kamalakanta. And he was associating with very, very offensive people. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that he was intimately associating with offensive personalities, Lord Chaitanya was very angry with him. And he said that that Kamalakanta is never allowed to come into my presence again. Now Lord Chaitanya, as we know, is the incarnation of Lord Sri Krishna. So Kamalakanta, who is a very sincere devotee, he was feeling very bad. That now what is the use of my existence? What to speak of this life? But my entire existence is worthless if I can never come into the presence of the Lord again. So he was feeling very sad. So some of the devotees, they saw how sad he was feeling. So they approached Lord Chaitanya. You know, the devotees of the Lord are sometimes more kind than the Lord himself. Actually, the devotee's kindness is the Lord's kindness, but the Lord, his lila is, he acts more merciful through his devotees than he does personally, just to glorify his devotees, because he loves his devotees more than he loves himself. That is the natural quality of God's love. So the devotees approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, you know, Kamalakanta, he's very sad, he's your devotee, he's such a sincere soul, and now that you've cursed that he'll never see you again, he's feeling very bad. Isn't there some concession you can make? And Lord Chaitanya, in great anger, he said, because he is associating with persons who are offensive to the Supreme Lord, therefore I will not see him for millions of births. After millions of births, then he can come into my presence. So the devotees went outside and told Kamalakanta, we're sorry, but he said, you'll have to wait millions of births before you come into his presence. And Kamalakanta, when he heard that, he became so happy. He began to dance. He began to dance with his arms raised, chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, how lucky I am. They said, what? Why you're dancing? Why you are so happy? He said, all I have to do is wait millions of births and I get the great treasure of the darshan of the Supreme Lord. That's such a benediction. He was so enthusiastic. That is real enthusiasm. You have to both be enthusiastic and patient. Rupa Goswami explains these are the symptoms of surrender, that you are enthusiastic and patient simultaneously. If you have enthusiasm without patience, then you become like a businessman. Krishna, I'll work very hard for you, but you have to give me what I want by this date, otherwise the contract is void. If you don't make your payment on time, Krishna, then you have voided the contract, and then I have no more obligation to be your servant. A devotee does not do business with God. A devotee makes no conditions. That I'm suffering, Krishna. Why am I suffering? I've done so much for you. Why is it like this? It shouldn't be like this. You should be different. You should treat me the way I want to be treated, not the way you want to treat me. What is this? What kind of God are you? Why should I continue my service? Why should I chant Hare Krishna? Look, I still have problems. This is doing business with the Lord. A devotee is not a businessman. A devotee is a servant. The servant simply pleases the Lord and has complete faith that Krishna knows what's best for me. And he has complete faith that by simply serving the Lord with devotion, when Krishna sees it is the right time, when it is by his sweet will, he will reveal himself to me. He will deliver me from all the sufferings and miseries of material existence. If it takes 1 year or 2 years or 5 years or millions of lifetimes, I'm willing to go on with my service enthusiastically with faith and patience. That is patience. That is required. But if we are simply patient and we're not enthusiastic, then we're simply lazy. Spiritual life is not for a lazy person. Of course, in India, this is not very much understood. Generally, the laziest people consider this is the best occupation for a lazy man, to become a sadhu. All you have to do is lay around in the temples all day and just beg for some chapatis and have some people touch your feet and say, you know, your blessings, God's blessings are upon you. And that's all you do all day. We have seen many such persons in our wanderings through the holy places of India. But actually, spiritual life is defined in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is impelling Arjuna not to be lazy, but to give all of his life's energy to fight for the sake of Krishna. And this is a real saintly person. He is willing to give all of his life's energies, exhaust everything he has for the betterment of mankind in the service of God. That is a saint, not someone who simply lays and sleeps and eats some chapatis. So we have to be patient, but at the same time, we have to work very hard with great enthusiasm in the service of the Lord. And if we are very enthusiastic, with patience, which is based on faith in the Word of God, faith in the mercy of God, then the combination of those two is surrender. Huh? And Krishna says in Gita, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papi bhyo moksha ishami mashya. Abandon all your varieties of religion and just surrender with enthusiasm and patience. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Have faith. Huh? Hari Hari. Yes.
When we take the diksha from the guru takes over all of our past lives, gives us a new life of response, says twice born. Do we still have to suffer the reaction of the past lives?
Not exactly. In other words, we do not suffer like a person who is materialistic, who does not have the grace of Guru and Krishna. Hare Krishna.